Well, I asked the Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson during a regular weekly chat for his response to the tragedy in Texas.
Oh, it's heartrending, Nathan, every time we have one of these shootings that we see. And when that involves school kids in particular, it just makes it even harder for all of us. And yeah, obviously our hearts go out to the families. It's tough when we're here in New Zealand and, you know, and we have some ability to have distance from it. We've not been immune from these kinds of shootings, obviously, very high profile way, but it is extremely tough. We try not to comment on other countries' politics, but no matter where you sit on these things, there's obviously a massive issue for the United States to be dealing with. And I'm pleased that here in New Zealand, we've been able to make some changes that we did to our gun laws and you know, continue to make sure we keep our people safe.
And I mean, we had eyes on the United States because the Prime Minister's there, and what seems like a bit of a cursed trip. We've had COVID, and then we've President Biden being away and stuff as well. And I know she was on with Stephen Colbert, who she's very popular with, but gee, that's a tough situation to be on almost a comedian show. And I imagine having to talk about things like that.
Yeah, look, you know, but they know each other well. Obviously, people will recall that Stephen Colbert came to New Zealand and the Prime Minister picked him up at the airport. And so they, you know, their relationship's a good one. And I think they covered a host of topics. I haven't actually seen any footage from it yet. But yeah, I think they did cover a range of issues. And those who are in America who constantly have to deal with these issues, I think are really well aware of the impact it has. But it was a very busy day for the Prime Minister on her first day with work with our trade mission that's over there, meetings at the UN, being on that show, and the last conversation I had with her, she was getting up at 4:45 in the morning, so it's definitely a packed program.
Oh, and she's speaking to some, 32,000 Harvard graduates as well, which is quite an interesting thing. I mean, she's got Colbert as well. She's very popular among many people around the world. I mean, aside from her supporters here being happy about it, what does it do for our country?
Yeah, look, it is something that opens doors, and we saw that when the Prime Minister was in Japan, where there was, you know, real interest in her, and obviously in the United States. And from our perspective, getting out there and telling the world that we're open for business, that we're open for tourists, it's really important to have someone like the Prime Minister who can get that cut through. It's funny you mentioned the Harvard speech, because I'm not sure New Zealanders entirely understand just how big a deal that is. That commencement speech has been given by the likes of Barack Obama and Benazir Bhutto and all sorts of people in history, and it's a real occasion. Harvard, obviously, as everyone knows, what its history, but as you say, a massive number of people, and it's going to be a real moment for New Zealand, I think, when she delivers that speech.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about being open for business. I know that Queenstown businesses, they've been talking about just being massively short-staffed at the moment, just as they're gearing up for that busy tourist season. What are you hearing about the extent of that issue, and how long is it likely for us to get that migrant workers, you know, as many as we need through the border?
Yeah, look, there definitely are, you know, labour shortages around New Zealand. I think we're all aware of that. We've been specifically working on things like the Working Holiday Visa program, which has often been a real source for people who in the tourism and hospitality sector, and we've had the numbers are a few weeks old, but I think at least 5,000 to 7,000 applications coming through and being processed for that. So those people are coming back on board. Obviously, when the border opens fully at the end of July, we're going to see a lot more people come in, and we've been working with the sector knowing that big boost is going to be in the summer period. Obviously for Queenstown with the ski season, they've got a little bit more at the moment, but we're working very hard to make sure that we do see people come in. And there are plenty of people who want to come into New Zealand and work who haven't been able to more recently because of the closed borders. So conscious that it's been a tough time, but heaps of work going in to make sure, particularly from that July period onwards, that we've got the people we need.
Okay, let's go to the budget. So if we have a look at the budget, which you're working on, it emerged that Treasury, so they advised against that one-off $350 payment for low and middle income earners. You got that advice from them. Why did you decide to ignore that advice?
Yeah, look, I mean, for us, it was about making sure that we were able to reach a wider group of New Zealanders who were being affected by cost of living pressures, but still do it in a sustainable way. And for us, we could see that there were people who weren't in receipt of the support we'd given on the 1st of April with the big package there, or from the winter energy payment, who were having a tough time. And so it's not unheard of for ministers of finance to disagree with the Treasury. It does happen from time to time. What they were really at pains to point out was that the payments needed to be temporary and targeted to make sure that we didn't exacerbate inflation. And so that's what we've done. It's a, you know, it's a 3 months of payment, $27 a week across those 3 months. But then obviously it ends. And that contrasts with perhaps tax cuts where someone like me would get the benefit and it would go on forever. That would exacerbate inflation far worse than this does. So we tried to strike a balance there, but we knew that we wanted to extend it out, and Treasury didn't agree with that, but we did try to listen to their views of making sure it was a temporary payment.
Is it correct that 750 IRD staff are going to be needed to administer that payment?
I'm not sure about the exact number, but there will be a number of people. They won't all be full-time employees. There'll be people who come in to support getting the payment up and running. But we do know that whenever we make a change like this, a lot of people ring with queries and questions and email in with queries and questions, and we want to be able to process them quickly, and we want to make sure that people get the money when we've said they're going to get it. So it does require a bit of work to do that. One thing I can say to use First Up as a vehicle to let people know this is you don't actually have to do anything to get the payment if you have a bank account number that IRD know about. If you don't, you'll need to let them know your bank account details. But otherwise, you're all good to get it. And basically, you will have that if you've had communication or done a tax return. So that will reduce some of the calls that need to be made if people realise they don't actually have to make an application.
All right, I got a scoop. How good's that? Okay. Hey, let's talk about the OCR. So the Reserve Bank, you know, set the official cash rate at a six-year high to try and counter inflation. Did it have a choice?
Well, it was certainly a very predictable and expected decision. You know, the Reserve Bank's job is to get inflation to between 1% and 3%. And obviously, at the moment, it's sitting at 6.9%. They have that job over the medium term. And so they've laid out the direction of travel they want to go in and to get there. And so this is their job. Monetary policy in New Zealand set independently by the Reserve Bank. They need to think about employment outcomes. They would argue at the moment that we're actually below, you know, we're in a position where we've gone beyond maximum sustainable employment, so they don't need to worry about that at the moment. So they're focused on the inflation side, and this is their job, and I think it was very predictable that they did what they did.
Yeah, I mean, they foreshadow that, I mean, things aren't going to get, it's not like they're going to get great in a year or so, didn't they?
Yeah, look, and this is one of the most volatile times I've experienced as a finance minister and the global economy. We do have all of this confluence of things coming together with the COVID still being affected, particularly in the way China is still doing its elimination strategy. That's putting a lot of pressure on supply chains that were already under pressure. We've got the war in Ukraine, and we've got this inflation globally around the world. And then there's some talk now of other places where the economy is slowing down and they're worried about recession. In that environment, very hard to predict. What the Reserve Bank did say today is, you know, they keep monitoring once every 6 weeks. They've given a direction of travel. And I think people now have that kind of certainty to work with in what is a really, really challenging time for a lot of people.
That's Grant Robertson there.